translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If realization of the Absolute Truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. In any one of the above mentioned castes or orders of life, the four processes, namely glorifying, hearing, remembering, and worshipping, are general occupations. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Activities of the living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life. Especially in the modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time if he is simply glorified truly or falsely in the daily newspapers. Sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda. And by such a method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man within no time. But such propaganda by false glorification of an unqualified person cannot bring about any good, either for the particular man or for the society. There may be some temporary reactions to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything manifested before us. We have broadly discussed this fact from the beginning of the Janmadasya sloka of this Bhagavatam. The tendency to glorify others or hear others must be turned to the real object of glorification, the Supreme Being. And that will bring happiness. Tasma dekena manasha bhagavan shaktatang pati shrotabva kirtitabvascha dheya pujyascha nityada. So, this verse begins with the word tashmad. Tashmad means therefore. So to understand this tashmad or therefore, we have to go back to the few previous verses, because this verse is actually summing it up, that because of these facts, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Shaktatang Pati, who is the protector of devotees, he is Shrotabha, Kirtitabha, Dheya, and Pujya. Shrotabha means should be heard. Kirtitabha means to be glorified. Dheya means remembered or meditated upon. And Pujyascha means Pujya means to be worshipped. So who should we hear about? Krishna. Who should we glorify? Krishna. Who should we think about? Krishna. And who should we worship? Krishna. So this is the summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme worshipable object. He should be glorified, he should be remembered, and everyone should hear about him. Akale Ishwar Krishna are Shabhritta. Only Krishna is the Supreme Lord and Master, and everyone else is his servant. Now, this conclusion was not made just whimsically. Why Krishna should be glorified has been discussed in the previous few verses. Why Krishna should be glorified? So we can go back from the very third verse, but it will be too long. So I will start from the verse 11, which actually explains why Krishna should be glorified, why Krishna should be worshipped, and why Krishna should be meditated upon. Because Vadanti tattvavidas tattvam jajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdate. Vadanti means speak. Tat, tattvavidas tattvam. Tattvavida, those who are knower of the truth. Those who know the absolute truth, they address the absolute truth as brahmeti, paramatmeti and bhagavaniti. Those who are the knowers of absolute truth, they address that absolute truth as Brahma, the impersonal bodily effulgence, or impersonal Brahma Jyoti, and Paramatma, the super soul, the localized aspect of the Lord as a super soul in the heart of every living entity, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is endowed with six opulences. So the Supreme is endowed with six opulences to the absolute degree. What are those opulences? Why Krishna is God? Who knows? Abhimanyu? Why Krishna is God? That's one aspect. Yes. Who knows? He must. Kishan. He is endowed with six opulences. Is the riches. So in this goes in the order of wealth, strength, beauty, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. So these are the six attractive, six aspects of attraction. Everyone is attracted to wealth. If someone is very rich, everyone becomes attracted to him. If someone is very strong, people become attracted to him. If someone is famous, if someone is beautiful, people become attracted to him. If someone is famous, people become attracted to him. If someone is very learned, people become attracted to him. And if someone is renounced, then also people become attracted to him. Now these are the aspects of attraction. Now Krishna has all these six opulences to the fullest degree, to the absolute degree. He is the richest. He is the strongest. He is the most beautiful. He is the most famous. He is the most wise. And he is the most renowned. And that's why Krishna is Bhagavan. Bhagavan, the word Bhagavan, is a combination of two words. Bhaga and Van. Bhaga means Bhaga means opulences, and Ban means one who has. One who has opulence, he is Bhagavan. And what are those Bhaga? What are those opulences? Actually, Bhaga, the Sanskrit word Bhaga has been translated into English as opulence, but it does not really completely reveal that understanding of the word Bhaga. Sometimes we face this problem when trying to translate from Sanskrit into English, because certain expressions in Sanskrit do not have its synonym in English. Exact word is not available in English. Anyway, this Bhaga has been defined in The word Bhaga has been defined as Aisharjasya, Samagrasya, Birjasya, Jasasya, Shriya, Jnana, Vairagyayashchaiva, Sannang iti Bhagangana. Bhava means Aisharja, all opulence, Samagrasya. Samagra means complete. Complete opulence, Virja, strength, Shri, beauty, Josh, fame, Gyan, knowledge, and Vairagya, renunciation. Now, out of different types of transcendentalists, who sees Krishna, who sees the Supreme as Bhagavan? Who sees the Supreme as Bhagavan? Devotees. Who sees the Supreme as Paramatma? Yogis. And who sees the Supreme or Absolute Truth as Brahma Jyoti? Jnani. So, according to one's endeavor for spiritual perfection or spiritual endeavor, one sees the Absolute Truth either as Brahma or Paramatma or Bhagavan. It's the same. The Absolute Truth is absolute. Or we can say the Absolute Truth is absolutely one. Ekam eva adityam. He is absolutely one and he doesn't have second. So that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that has been pointed out here. The vadanti tattatta vidas tattvam. Those who know the Absolute Truth, they speak about the Absolute Truth as Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Then, tachchadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya paschantatmane achatmanam bhakta shruta grihitaya. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that Absolute Truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. A seriously inquisitive student, one who is trying to understand the Absolute Truth. Now you can see the previous verse says, Vadanti. Those who know the Absolute Truth, they speak about the Absolute Truth as Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And in this verse it has been pointed out that those who are seriously endeavoring to learn about the Absolute Truth, seriously inquisitive student or sages, tachchadhana munayo. And what is the qualification of a seriously inquisitive person? Jnana vairagya yuktaya. He is endowed with knowledge and renunciation. A person who wants to make spiritual progress must be situated in knowledge and he must be renounced. He may be in household life, that is all right, but in his heart he is renounced. Although he is married and although he is his wife, although he is situated in his household life, but within his heart he is completely renounced. So the jnana vairagya yuktaya, a seriously inquisitive student is equipped with knowledge and detachment. Without knowledge, we cannot make spiritual progress. If someone doesn't know Krishna, then how can he approach Krishna? If someone doesn't know how to make spiritual advancement, then how can he ever think of making spiritual advancement? So gyan or knowledge about the Absolute Truth, about the process of Krishna consciousness, must be there. And vairagya, because one is endeavoring for spiritual life, one naturally becomes detached from material life. Vairagya means detachment from materialistic life. Detachment doesn't mean no attachment. No, detachment means, actual detachment means higher attachment. Actually, no one can ever exist without some attachment. Only stones can live without attachment. Those who do not have consciousness, they only can exist without attachment. But anyone who is conscious must have his, must have attachment to something or other. And what is the attachment? In the material platform, people are attached to material nature and the objects of the material nature. They are attached to their cars, they are attached to their wives, they are attached to their homes, they are attached to their relatives and friends, they are attached to their money, they are attached to their addictions. There are so many attachments. But all these attachments are material. Now, a person who is aspiring for spiritual life, he also has his attachment. But what kind of attachment does he have? His attachments are spiritual. He is attached, wherever there is consciousness, as I mentioned, there must be desire and there must be attachment. But what is their desire? What is their attachment? Their attachment is spiritual. They are attached to Krishna and they are attached to everything that is relative to Krishna. And being attached to Krishna, they have become detached from matter. So when we speak vairagya, we mean detachment from matter. Vairagya doesn't mean total negation. Rupa Goswami explained that in his verse, that prapanchika taya buddha, the other one is anashaktasya vishayan jatharham upajunjata nirbandha krishna sammandhe yukta vairagya mucchate. Anashakta, with a mood of detachment. Detachment to what? Matter. Vishayan, vishaya means objects of the material nature. Anashaktasya vishayan jatharham upajunjata. Jatharham means whatever is necessary. Upajunjata. He accepts whatever is necessary. Nirbandho Krishna sammandhe. And how does he take that? How does he accept that? In relationship to Krishna. And that is called yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya means positive renunciation. What is negative renunciation? Krishna? Yeah, negative renunciation is just rejection of things, rejection or negation of the objects that are connected to Krishna. Prapanchika taya buddha hari sambandhi bostuna mumukshubhi parityago vairagyam phalgu kathate. Phalgu vairagya. Or phalgu means false or cheating, which is not there but appears to be there. Phalgu is actually the name of a river that no one can see. That river is in Gaya. And that river flows underneath. No one can see the river. But if you dig the sand, then the water comes out. The water is flowing, but water is flowing under the sand. So apparently it seems that they're renounced. But dig a little bit, then all the desires start to come out. That is called phalgu vairagya. Externally he is very renounced. He doesn't even have a cloth to wear. He doesn't have any possession. He lives under a tree. He doesn't even eat anything but some fruits in the the wild fruits that he gets in the forest. But just dig a little bit, then you'll see millions of desires underneath. That is the meaning of phalgu vairagya. So what is the definition of a phalgu vairagya? Prapanchika taya buddha hari sambandhi bostuna mumukshubhi parityago. That's parityago. He rejects even the hari sambandhi bostuna, things that are related to Krishna. like what are related to Krishna, Krishna Prasad, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's name, Krishna's service. Now if somebody rejects these things, if that means if one rejects Krishna consciousness for the sake of mumukshubhi, for the sake of attaining liberation, then that renunciation is just phalgu vairagya, false renunciation. So, one who is inquisitive about spiritual life, he is well equipped with knowledge and detachment, and he realizes the absolute truth. How does a seriously inquisitive student realize the absolute truth? Balaram? But that's ultimately, but what is the process? By devotional service. By rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from Vedanta Shruti. Devotional service cannot be rendered whimsically. Devotional service must be rendered through a bona fide process that has been described in the scriptures. And what is the bona fide process of rendering devotional service? This has been described that Shruti Shriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhin Vina Vaikantiki Harir Bhakti Utpatariva Kalpati. The devotional service must be rendered according to the instructions of Shruti, Smriti, Puran and Pancharatra Vidhi. So according to this process. Now how do we render devotional service? We are rendering devotional service as Srila Prabhupada has given it to us. Now we cannot say that, well, we won't follow Prabhupada's instructions but still will become devotee. Sometimes it happens. Some people say, some devotees, especially those who left the movement, they say, well, we'll render devotional service in our way. But that's a mistake. One cannot render devotional service whimsically. Prabhupada has given the very, very clear instructions that we must render devotional service in the association of devotees. That's the first consideration. That's why Prabhupada gave us ISKCON. Without the association, it's impossible to render devotional service. And then how should we render devotional service? We must follow the four regulative principles. One cannot break the regulative principles and render devotional service. So, then Prabhupada gave us the specific way of rendering devotional service in this age, that's by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Then hearing His glory and singing His glory. Prabhupada taught us to worship the deities in the temple. And although all of us are not worshipping, but attending Mangal Arati is non-different from worshipping Krishna. When one sees the pujari offering the Arati to the Lord, just by seeing, one actually gets the benefit of offering the Arati. So in this way, Prabhupada has given us a perfect system according to Shruti, Shriti, Puran and Pancharatra Vidhi. So ultimately, the devotional service has five considerations. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are devotional service in this age, the best way to render devotional service has five aspects. What are those five aspects? Hearing, then reading scriptures, reading scriptures, and singing the glory of the Lord, kirtan, nam sankirtan, then shastra adhyayan, reading the scriptures, then worshipping the deity, associating with the devotees, and residing in Mathura. So these are the five aspects of devotional service. And anyone who is engaged in Krishna consciousness in ISKCON automatically performing these five activities. Prabhupada actually designed ISKCON in such a way. Like first is Sadhu Sangha. So anyone who is in ISKCON is associating, getting the association of sadhus. So anyone who is in ISKCON must attend the Bhagavatam class and read at least for some times every day. So this is how one is reading scriptures. Anyone who is in ISKCON worships the deity. Although we do not directly worship the deity, everyone, but attending Mangalarati, attending morning programs, so we automatically do that. Then, Mathura Vash, residing in the holy dham. Now this temple of Krishna is non-different from Golok Vrindavan. So those who are living in the temple or whose consciousness is in the temple, he is actually residing in Mathura. So, in this way, Prabhupada has given us the very, very simple process of Krishna consciousness. Then, ato pungdhir dija shrishta varnashrama vibhavasha shanushthitasya dharmasya shangshiddhir haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. So, the whole society has been divided into four orders of life, four orders, four varnas, and four divisions of life. Now, they are called varna and ashram. Now, what is the purpose of this varnashram? Simply to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shamsiddhir Hari Toshanam. Toshanam means? Toshanam. Pleasing. The purpose of following the varnashram is not to gain anything material, but to please Krishna. And that's why it is said in this verse, tashma dekhena manusha bhagavan sattatam prati. So, the purpose of life is to please Krishna. So how should we please Krishna? Tashma dekhena manusha. With a one-pointed attention, we must shrotabha, kirtitabha. Krishna should be heard, Krishna should be glorified, Krishna should be remembered, and Krishna should be worshipped. So I'll stop now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Any comment or questions?